Grace to you all and peace from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you sick of me yet? It's rare that any of your Mount Olivet pastors get the opportunity to preach in back-to-back weeks, but in this case it's really convenient because I get the privilege of some unusual continuity. I get to speak with you about two stories that are rarely put into conversation from two different books in the Bible. What genius put together the preaching skill? Oh, there he is. His belly laugh was scripted. Last week in Luke 15, you might remember we heard the parable of the lost sheep, the story of a shepherd who left the 99 sheep in the wilderness to search for and rescue just one single sheep who had wandered off. We heard how that shepherd grabbed that sheep and carried it back on his shoulders, and we learned that this is what the ever-surprising grace and majesty of God looks like. This week, we're in a whole other gospel, the Gospel of Mark, and we're not hearing another parable, we're hearing about an episode from Jesus' life. He's about to teach to a crowd when he's interrupted by a distressed father. "Please, Jesus, my daughter is dying. Please come and help her." And so Jesus goes with the father, but too late, as we discover, she has died. And then we have this touching, tender scene in which Jesus comes to the girl's deathbed, takes her hand, and speaks to her, oh, so gently, "Little one, wake up." And she does. He raises her back to life and restores her to her parents, who have had quite a day. I have never in my life read this story from Mark 5 in sequence after those parables from Luke 15. I have never thought of them together, but they go just perfectly, because this miracle moment from Jesus' life is exactly what the parable of the lost sheep looks like in action. Jesus leaves this big crowd gathered round to see and hear him to go and recover this one who is slipping away. And what's so extra special good about linking these stories is that our reading from Mark 5 this morning helps us remember exactly what the stakes are, exactly what Jesus is up to. It's about death and life. Jesus didn't come to bring us from a case of the Mondays to Happy Land. Jesus doesn't go into the realm of naughtiness in order to bring us back to decency and righteousness. He doesn't even go looking for us in heresy to bring us back to orthodoxy. Jesus goes into the wilderness of death and brings us back to life, carries us back, drags us back to life if necessary. That is what a Savior does. Saves. Not just teaches or inspires or scolds, but really and truly saves. We talked about this last week too, how we all too often try to shrink Jesus down or demote him. We reduce him to being an advice giver or a role model. Remember WWJD. The thing about role models and advice givers is that they are rejectable, ignorable. And this is where I tell you a story about my life as a parent to three sons. We had a bit of a problem this past Mother's Day. One of my sons was having a struggle of a day, and he decided he wasn't going to go on our family outing, perhaps misunderstanding what forced family fun actually means. I advised him that this would be a bad idea and would hurt mom's feelings, who does so much for him, and that he himself would regret it terribly after the fact. This was wise counsel and undoubtedly would have made his life and ours better. It was rejected. I then tried to be a good example and show him how eager and happy I was to go. I packed up the car, got myself ready, got the other boys all lined up at the door, and this did not persuade him either. It was then that I opened his bedroom door and picked him up and carried him to the car. And that seemed to work. This is what Jesus does for me and every stubborn sinner who refuses to follow his examples or teachings and insists on going his own way, even though it leads to sadness, conflict, and deaths of both the spiritual and physical kind. After calling to us and teaching us, at last he plunges in and irresistibly saves us. The gospel promise last week from the parable of the lost sheep was that Jesus carries you on his shoulders. You don't carry yourself. The good news this week is that you are never too far gone, never too lost for Jesus to find you. No bedroom door, no cloud of doubts, not even the grave can hide you from Jesus. You know, I'm struck that Jairus, the father from our story, like so many parents, comes to Jesus when it is for their kids' sakes. When people start having babies and thinking about baptisms, that is so often when we see them returning to the patterns of life here at church. You could ask me, for example, how many times did I go to church in my invincible, immortal, golden youth between high school graduation and the birth of my first child? It's not an impressive number. But parents want something for their kids. Jairus wants something for his daughter. He wants life. Save her, Jesus. We don't often think about that for ourselves. I'm doing all right. I really don't need anything. But remember, each one of you is someone's child. Whether it was a parent or a grandparent or godparent or some other angel, someone wanted you to be here, to get this gift of life, this promise from Jesus. Somebody prayed for you or is praying for you. Somebody asked or is asking Jesus to remember you and look after you, to save you, to keep you with him for life, for always. So who is your Jairus? And for whom are you Jairus? Faith is not an individual sport. It's a team event. We surround each other with faith so that when one of us stumbles, there is a whole community to lift them up before Jesus. We bring Jesus to each other so that Jesus then can carry us through the valley of the shadow of death into the life everlasting. And that is good news, whether we like it or not. Amen.